myself away. I give myself away so you can use me.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Do you love the Lord? Are you glad to be here? Thank you, musicians. God bless you. It's nice to be back. Yeah, services took a lot out of us, but we thank you for your prayers. You'd be real proud of Brother Eli. Did a wonderful job, and it's a great work coming to the junction where the messages are translated. There's some checking that needs to be done and proofing, but that's expected. But the main bulk of the work that we were wanting to get accomplished is done, and so only eternity will tell just all the effects that come from this. So we're just so thankful for that tonight. I'm just a little nervous because I had all my notes and I don't know what happened. It's mysterious to me, but I put my files into the Dropbox and I come and I pull them out when I come here and I open up my file and my scriptures and quotes were there, but my notes were gone. So I had to scramble to put together some thoughts here, and the Lord knows. Just put it in His hands. Amen. The Lord's Choice, Part 8. Luke chapter 15, we'll start at the 28th verse. Luke 15 and the 28th verse. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Remember, this is older brother. And the father is dealing with older brother. He's not angry with him, even though older brother is angry. And he answering said unto his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. So he's trying to justify himself by works. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Well, there's nothing that's changed in his life. But as soon as this thy son was come, not my brother, but your son, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. How does he know that? Just gossip. He doesn't know. Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Notice he says, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. So you have an inheritance. Well, it ought to make you pretty happy. That inheritance is the change of your body. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead. Was dead. Oh, I hope when we look at this tonight that was dead. He had to die. Literally. Was dead. The younger brother was dead. The younger brother was dead. Not figuratively. Literally. And is alive again. But it's not the same one. Was dead. And now is alive. Meet your new younger brother. Was lost. And is found. Oh my. Listen to this. from the spoken word is the original seed. Brother Branham says, I'm a Branham because I was born of Charlie and Ella Branham. That makes me a Branham because I'm their seed. There are two agreements with their sperm together made a seed, and that made me. When God and His Word becomes one, hallelujah, that's when God's Spirit waters the seed of God, the Word of God. It produces God, and it's not the individual, it's God. For what? You are dead. You're not yourself no more. You reckon yourself dead, hollowed out, waiting for the seed germ. Waiting for the seed germ. Waiting for the seed germ. So something dies, and nothing is alive yet. And you're living without it. And you're waiting for the seed germ. Then what is it? It isn't you no more. It isn't the man. It's God in the man. It's a seed germ like the beginning spoken word. God's word made manifest in the man, then it isn't the man. It's the man that's died. He can't be a hybrid and a son at the same time. He's either a son of death or a son of life. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come together on this, for this midweek service, we just ask that You would give strength to each and every one. Lord, no doubt, so many are tired, and Lord, they've faced many things today, and maybe traveled a distance to come. I just ask that You'd bless them, Lord, each and every one, that You give them their portion tonight, Lord. And Father, we surely will give You the praise and honor and glory. We love You and we thank You. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So we were born with a soul that had a nature of the world. And we were born with a body of flesh that has a will. It has a free moral agency. And it's in a body of corruption. And the body is actually dying the moment that it's conceived in the womb. Even though it's going to grow and it's going to mature and come of age, if you will, come to maturity. But there's a clock that's set on the inside of it that tells it how many cells or how many times the cells will reproduce. There's a limited number of times that they will reproduce, and then that's it. There are mistakes in the genetics of the body. You didn't know that. You're real quiet here tonight. That's why we grow old. Because our cells can only reproduce so many times. There are mistakes in the genetics of the body, defects, if you will. And the body is subject to sickness, and it's subject to diseases, and it's subject to weaknesses. And the body needs to be changed, and the body will not receive its change until the rapture. But the first nature that we were born with is of the world, and it's actually married to Satan. It's actually joined or united with Satan. The younger son, he comes home, and he's had a change that's took place in his soul. He has a different nature. He has different desires. He no longer desires the things of the world. He's not reformed. He's transformed. He's different. But the older son has not been changed, but he's been promised that all that is the father's will be the son's. And that is that promise of an inheritance. It's the type of the body change. So the older son and the younger son, they continue to live in the same house with the father. They continue to live together in the same house with the father. But the older son, he needs to be kept in line. While the younger son, he's already received his change. He's been robed. He's a ring has been placed on his finger. He's been positionally placed. He's been provided with shoes on his feet. Romans chapter 6 verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So we can't help but serve sin by our first birth. So our old man is the old nature, not the body. The body is not the old man, although you can call it an old man tonight. There was an old man that was living in a young man that's now an old man. So our old man is the old nature, not the body, because our body hasn't died, but our old nature has. Our old nature wanted to serve sin and was bound by sin. The desire of that old nature was to do things that are wrong. And so when we come to Jesus, if you will, when we come and we're convicted of sin, we're convinced that there's nothing good in us, and we ask for that forgiveness, we're forgiven, but we're still who we were. That old, we're still a sinner until that nature's changed, because that nature is a sinner. So our old nature wanted to serve sin, and so many don't go on to a full birth where they're birthed from above, and instead they still have the same desires. So what they do is they say, well, I'm gonna follow these new rules and these new regulations, but deep down inside, I still want to do those other things. But I realize that they're wrong, and so I'm not gonna do it. Are you with me? Verse 7. For he that is dead is free from sin. So it's not the outer man that's dead. He's got a change coming. But it's the nature of our first birth that must be dead. I mean, not figuratively, actually dead. Well, I hope you get this tonight. It actually, truly must die. It's not a reformation of the soul or the nature that's in us. The old nature must absolutely die in order to free us from sin. If it's merely saved, divorced from sin nature, but not dead, it cannot be united with Christ. It can't be united with Christ because Christ cannot marry someone that's been married before. So he's not going to marry that old nature under any circumstances, forgiven or not. And that's why those that are not elect but are saved are not married to him and can never be married to him. They can be saved. They can be given life. But he's not going to marry someone that's been married before. He's going to marry a virgin. Christ can only marry a virgin. So the seed that's within us must be quickened by the Holy Spirit. And that is the real you that then unites with Christ. And that real you that unites with Christ that's come alive never did sin and can't sin, because the nature of it is not sin. And it's not united with the old husband, but it's united with the new husband, Christ the Word. He says, now if we be dead, Romans 6:8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. So we have to be dead to that old nature. That old nature has to be dead. Not it's still there, but we're telling it, I'm not going to listen to you. It's got to be dead. Now the flesh, we've got to divide the nature from the flesh. The flesh still has to be ruled over. And the flesh will still, the flesh still has a will. And it has to be guided. It has to be brought into subjection. If it was changed, then why does it need to be brought subject to the Word? If it was changed, it would be subject to the Word. It will be changed. But the nature that used to live in it is gone. Because if that nature isn't gone, you can't believe. If that nature isn't gone, you can't please God. You can't live right. Ephesians 2:2. Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So we were as the children of disobedience. Before we were born again, if you were to look at us, we were no different. We were born with a corrupt body. A body that's corrupting. A body that's subject to sickness and disease. And we were born with a sin nature, just as everybody else. But within the elect of God is also a seed. And that seed came from God. And it's waiting to be quickened by Him. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. By nature, but not by seed. By nature. By nature. By nature. So by nature, we were as all others, but not by seed. Those that are not born again, they still have the old nature within them. They can receive forgiveness. It's wonderful. But they cannot be justified as long as that old nature remains. Well, we'll get into that maybe next time. From the message, thou knowest all things, Brother Brown says, if you believe, then them little immoral things will just drop off like that. As you believe, you become love. And love is God. And you begin to wind yourself into Christ. Now you can't believe, you believe from the soul. And when the soul is quickened, you believe. And love is God. And you begin to wind yourself into Christ. It's a process, isn't it? We grow into this. It's birth, but then we grow into it. And you begin to wind yourself into Christ. And these other things, you don't have to quit doing them. Now, it's a contradiction, or it's a paradox to us, that as we go through justification and sanctification. Now, it's not full justification yet because you haven't died out to yourself. But as we're going through justification and sanctification, there's you've got to, if you're mentally told this doesn't please God and that doesn't please God, you got to stop doing it. Right? But you're not sanctifying yourself. But if you don't stop doing those things, He'll never come and quicken you. You got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. You got to get to the place where that old nature dies. And then you're actually without a nature until that new nature is quickened. You said, well, I couldn't live. Animals live without a soul. You don't have to quit doing them. They just quit themselves. When you're truly quickened, born again of the seed of God, born again of the Word of God, when that seed that's down on the inside of you, you have a new nature, and that nature wants to do other things. That nature wants to live right. That nature wants to do right. It's not struggling to want to do something. Its desires are different. So it's not a matter of you struggling against desires. Now, temptation and desires are two different things. You can be tempted by something, but down inside you don't really want to do it. Your flesh maybe wants to do it, but down inside you don't want to do it. You might be tempted to lie because it'll get you out of a situation. You might be tempted to do different things, but down on the inside you don't want to lie. So the desires are different, and the new nature has to rule over that flesh, bringing it subject to the Word. He says, there's just no desire to do it. Now, if the desire is still there, then we need to seek God. The worshiper, having purged, has no more conscience or desire of sin. Hebrews 9, see, the worshiper once purged. See what I mean? When the worshiper is purged is when he is born again, when his old nature dies and the new nature sets in. So one has to die before a new one. There's no overlap. Something has to die first before something else can set in. The new nature sets in. Then he becomes a part of God, a son of God. He gets new life, and the life is, and the Greek word there is Zoe, which means the life of God. You become an offspring of God, and God can't hurt you without hurting himself. See what I mean, he says? So the desires are different now, and the new nature is beginning to rule and reign over the flesh, bringing it subject to the Word. And it's a process. If the flesh was converted, then there would be no need for the flesh to be brought subject to the Word. So older brother is going to be there until the change. And after the change. But he's going to get his change. Younger brother got his. Older brother is going to get his. Older brother has not received his change yet. And again, Brother Brown says, conversion is the Holy Spirit that moves the old nature out and the new nature comes in. One moves out, now it's empty, and another moves in. A new nature comes in, which is the Holy Ghost. And when a man has truly been born of the Spirit of God, he has everlasting life. Jesus says so. So the life that's living in you is eternal. And there is therefore no condemnation that's in you. Because you're not the same person. The person that was guilty is dead. He's not forgiven, he's dead. And you have eternal life. The very life of God breathed into you by the Holy Spirit. Again, from the Lamb and the Dove. Brother Branham says, if you want to be a Christian, just ask Christ. He will take your old nature out and put a new nature in. Then you don't have to impersonate anything. It's just your normal life that you're living. Oh, friends, I know this so well because I tried the old nature trying to live a Christian life. I tried that for 20 years. Because I didn't know that there was anything more than that. But when I died out, when that old nature died, hallelujah, then a new nature was quickened in me. Not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to quicken the new nature that was in me that just needed to be brought to life. Hallelujah. So this is where nominal Christianity fails. You see, without a change, we would all struggle to live a Christian life. And I did. I struggled and I struggled and I struggled. And it was the words that would come out of my mouth is, what do I got to do, God? And that's why those that have not been born again, that's why they need rules. They actually need rules. If you're walking in sanctification, you need rules. You need to be told what's right and what is wrong. there's no inner witness. It's all outward. You need somebody, because the tutor's not in you. You need somebody to tutor you. You need somebody to keep you in line. That's what legalism is. And that's why churches that are legalistic churches are legalistic. Because they recognize, you know what, if we're not rough, if we're not hard, if we don't tell these people do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, they're gonna live like they used to. And so we gotta keep them in fear. Right? You're gonna be in trouble if you break this rule. You're gonna go to hell if you break this rule. You're gonna be thrown out of the church if you break this rule or that rule. If you don't, then you're okay. Right? You gotta do that. You do. You have to do that if there's not been a change. So it's not, if you're not born again, it's not obvious to you what's right and what's wrong. Somebody has to tell you. Notice again in Hebrews chapter 6, he says, your old nature died. The nature of the world. And you become a new creation. This is not figurative. This is literal. Something is living in you that wasn't living in you before. And something that was living in you is no longer living in you. And your desires, that old life that had a beginning when God breathed the breath into your nostrils when you were born, that life of carnal nature died. And it had a beginning and it had an end. And it died and was done away with forever. It's gone. It's dead. That old nature. And God came in with the new nature. So the soul is the nature of the spirit. Your spirit didn't die. Your soul did. Now this isn't a two soul doctrine. But that nature had to die. Two souls is you got two souls that are in you that are living. You can't have two souls. You can't have two natures. In order to have that nature that's from above, the nature that's from below, has to die. You can live without that nature that's from below. Just as an animal does. An animal doesn't have a soul, but yet they're alive. They have a body, they have a spirit, no soul. And if this wasn't true, then in the process of being rebirthed, you would physically die. But you didn't. But the nature did. You see, you are being regened. Regenerated. Your DNA of your existence is being changed. Again, he says, as far as receiving the Holy Spirit and being inoculated, a spirit in there that takes their old nature out puts a new nature in. Then again, in the conflict between God and Satan, he says, when you become converted from a sinner to a Christian, see, it changes your own opinions. It didn't change your mind. Your nature was changed, which changes your mind. It changes your own will. It changes everything that's in you. And it brings you into another life and gives you another spirit that bears forth another record. See, then your old life has to die and the new one has to be born again. And then you're no more the creature that you was at all. That's why you're not guilty. Because you, who was born again, never did it. Glory to God. souls that are in prison. He says, now the soul of man is not the body of man, it's the soul. And the soul is something that's the nature of the spirit. And when the nature of man, when he said we are dead, the scripture plainly tells us we are dead and our lives are hidden in God through Christ, sealed there by the Holy Spirit. Now, it wasn't your body that died, and it wasn't your spirit that died. It was the nature of your spirit that died. See, we're born with certain temperament, right? You're melancholic or sanguine or phlegmatic or, what's the other one? Choleric, right? And your old nature showed up in your temperament. Because there are some rough parts to those temperaments. When you're born again, you still have the same spirit. You still have the same temperaments. Right? Elijah was a man of the woods and what have you, that spirit. But now you have a new nature of the spirit, where you're not ungodly. We are dead. The scripture plainly tells us that we are dead and our lives are hidden in God through Christ, sealed there by the Holy Spirit. Now, it wasn't that your body died. It wasn't your spirit that died. It was the nature of your spirit that died. See, the nature, which is the soul, the nature of your soul. See, the soul that sinneth must die. It's not been converted. It's not been patched up and it's not been forgiven. It's dead. It's judged and it died. There's where you went through your judgment. That's why there's no more judgment for you. Because you were judged. You didn't get out away from anything. You died. Wasn't your body that died. It wasn't your spirit that died. It was your nature of your spirit that died. See, the nature which is the soul, the nature of your soul is God. The nature of your soul is God. If you're born again. Oh, that's a stumbler. But it's either true or it isn't. If it's not, then it's of the world. Anything that begin has to end. So therefore, the only way that you can have eternal life is to have life that never did begin. The life that comes in. And then your life did begin when you were born. When God breathed the breath of life into your nostrils and you became a living soul. Then you begin then. So the nature has to die, or else it's only divorced. It's saying, okay, well, I don't want to be associated with that anymore. Well, it's divorced. And for Christ to unite with that old forgiven nature would cause him to commit adultery, and it would cause you to commit adultery. Again, from souls that are in prison now, he says, that nature that was in you, by nature, you was of the world. You were alienated from God. You were actually an animal. That's exactly right. Anybody knows that we are mammal? How many knows that? We are mammal. We are warm-blooded animal. But that is why we are, that is what we are by our earthly creation. But you see, what made us different from other mammals is that God put a soul upon us. Then again, he says, and we are Christians by birth. And that makes us new creatures. In our old nature, we could never be Christians. It's not a patch up. In our old nature, we could never be Christians. You see, that's what they did when the rich young ruler came to the Lord, said, good master. He said, there's nothing good but God. Don't start with this good stuff. What good thing must I do to receive eternal life? Well, clearly, works weren't doing it. He did all the works. And he still didn't have life. So there's nothing we can do to be a Christian. In our old nature, we could never be a Christian. That's the reason today we have so many calling themselves Christians and living any kind of life. They've never experienced that born again, that something that changes you, that takes the life like pulling the blood out of a man. And that's got a certain type of blood and putting another type in. It's pulling the old life out of the man and injecting the life of Christ in the believer. And then he becomes a new creation. He's a new creature. How many can say praise the Lord? So that new nature witnesses to you that you're headed to a body change. Because you don't desire what you used to desire. Now don't confuse that with temptation. You still will be tempted. Temptations will come. But the desire is different. It's the outer man that's being tempted. The inner man has different desires though. That life with that new nature will keep you. I'll say that again. That life with that new nature will keep you. That's going to sound flat, friends, but I just got to preach it. I just got to call it balls and strikes. That life in you will take you to church. You won't stay home. Because that life in you wants to go to church. It's the old nature that wants to make excuses. It's the old nature that wants to place it on feelings, or I'm offended, or I'm hurt, or I'm tired, or I'm this, or I'm that. It's the new nature in you that says no. The word says forsake not the assembly. Now friends, how can we break that and be born again? Just gotta be plain. How can we break that? How can it cause some of us to go to church and not others? Brother Branham says, and if we don't feel that way, we better get to praying. See, this is the deal. The elect won't have to be forced into a rapture. The elect won't have to be conned or forced or cajoled or twisted. Well, if you don't put this rule in place, and if you don't put that rule in place, and if you don't put pressure on them here, and if you aren't real hard on them there, and if you don't follow them around, and if you don't have deacons that are policemen that go into the homes and go through the closets. No, those that go into the rapture are born again. And they will live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God because they want to. They're not trying to cut a corner. There's no desire in them that overrides the desire to keep God's word. They're not keeping God's word because they think they have to. They're doing it because they want to. Again, in the visible union, he says the first life, or your first union. You were joined in at birth. Notice this. By nature. By nature. By nature. A natural act. A natural human being associated. Man and a woman together, associated together in a sexual affair. Which brought your first life here. And that's associated with sin and with death. How can you miss seeing the serpent seed? By nature, not by seed. By nature. So, you see, that's why Satan had a claim on us. Because we were, by nature, of the world. But even Satan didn't know that there was a seed laying there. He finds out. Again, he says, now it was nature associated with death. Your first husband that had rule over you was your nature by natural birth. Natural. You love the world because you are the world and part of the world. That's right. Congregation says amen. Your desire was by nature to love the world which you're a part of. In other words, it's natural to love the world because you're part of it. You're a part of nature. You believe that? Amen. He says, and that's your natural thing. That's the reason you have to be born again. That's the reason you have to be born again. That's the reason you have to be born again. You have to separate. You have to die to that first husband. You can't live with it. You just can't say, well, I'll divorce him and hang him up here till occasion. No, sir. No writing of divorcement. He dies. The nature of the world has to die. Every speck of him has to die. You have to be reunited. Reunited again with another nature. Glory. Not united, but reunited. Those that leave the message, they haven't had a nature change. And they go back to living the kind of life they lived before. Worse, many times. Again, he says, your name of your first nature was born and put in a book of life. All your deeds was wrote in it. So your nature has a name. Your first nature. It has a name. And it has deeds. So the name and the deeds were written in the book of life. All your deeds was wrote in it. Was wrote in it too. Everything you've done under that nature was put in a book called the book of life. And it was put there at sanctification. You notice in Daniel, when he come to the Ancient of Days, whose hair was as white as wool, 10,000 times 10,000 came to him to minister to him, the bride, and then the books were opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. See, there is saints already there, the church, the bride. Another book was opened, which was the book of life. So there's the Lamb's book of life and there's the book of life. Again, he says, now you, but when you were separated from that union by spiritual death, your natural desire is to cut your hair. Your natural desire is to wear shorts. Your natural desire is to paint your face. Your natural desire is to be an intellectual, smart man. Know something better than the other. That's what Eve wanted. That's the very thing she wanted. Friends, you see people, maybe they've been in the message 30, 40 years. Maybe they've been pillars, seemingly. And then they leave. And then you look at them again, and the women's hair is cut. And they're painting their face. And they're wearing men's clothing. And the men are drinking beer and whatever. They always wanted to do that. There was no change. Friends, there's no way you could go out and do that again if the nature's been changed. Because a new nature doesn't want to do that. Sure, you might slip. Sure, you might make mistakes along the way. You will. But the new nature doesn't want to do those things. But when people leave, oh, they'll tell you, oh, I'm having the time of my life. I'm free. Yeah, you're free to satisfy the old nature. The old nature's happy. The old nature hated that kind of living. It was a chore. It was hard. It was a burden. But now the old nature's free to live like a pig. Why? Because it's a pig. I hope you're listening tonight. You're not a pig that became a lamb, but you had a pig nature that died and a lamb nature that came alive. It's not a transition from one species to another. It's one species dies and another one comes alive. Oh, glory to God. Yet it's behind the same flesh. Your natural desire is to cut your hair. Your natural desire is to wear shorts, paint your face. Your natural desire is to be an intellectual, smart man. Know something better than the other. That's what Eve wanted. That's the very thing she wanted. So, it's not strange to do these things when you're not born again. There's nothing strange about it. There's nothing odd about it. That's what people do by nature. It's natural. So when people say, I want to go all natural, not me. That's what got us in trouble to begin with. Again, he says, well, you separated from your first union by spiritual death. Now you're born again or remarried again to the new spiritual union of not your natural life of the things of the world, but of eternal life. That germ that was in you at the beginning. Oh, I love this. It found you. Not you found it. It found you. Oh, glory to God. You didn't know it was there. It found you. And it never was married. Goes on to say, now your old book is gone. With your old union. Now your name in your old, oh, it has to be transferred. Now you say, do you mean to tell me that my old book, God put it in the sea of His forgetfulness? You stand perfectly. You stand perfectly. You stand perfectly before God. Now your name is now in the new book, and it's not the same name. Jacob, Israel. It's not the same name. Now your name is in the new book, which is your new character. Not the old book of life, but the Lamb's book of life. What the Lamb redeemed. Not the old book of your... Friends, that's why when the book came open, it's the book of redemption. What's in the book of redemption? Names. Whose names? The names of the redeemed. So that's why people can walk away from this and say, well, that don't mean anything to me. Well, of course it don't. Your name's not in there. But if your name is in there, it means everything to you. You can't find your name in there if it isn't there. Now your name is now in the new book, not the book of life. Your name was always in that new book. But it was closed to you. You couldn't see it. Until the old nature died. Now your name is now in the new book, not the book of life, but the Lamb's book of life. What the Lamb redeemed, not the old book of your natural union, but your new bride, hallelujah. Your new life is in the Lamb's book of life. Your marriage certificate, hallelujah, where your true eternal germ from the beginning takes hold. That germ that was in Him, that's in you, that was quickened by the Holy Spirit. And the story. That's why you are the message. Once it's quickened, it'll live out what's already been written concerning it. You won't have to try to do it. The struggle that we'll have is to bring this body into subjection to the Word. Is to keep this flesh man out of the way. And it's a process. We grow and we mature. We grow and we mature. And we're washed continually with the water of the Word. We're washed of wrong thinking, wrong ideas. But not because we wanted to have wrong ideas. But they're still there and they have to be dealt with. Glory to God. So being born again is not the old nature saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Right. Now, we start, that's where we start, but that isn't a birth. But people that just go that far, they believe that God then patches you up a little bit and says, well, you're forgiven and I'll marry you. You're the forgiven one, I'll marry you. He doesn't marry your old nature. Again, communion. He says, but yet all at once, I looked up and I said, I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. There's something calling. Like my little eagle. I'm not a chicken. There's something up yonder. Somewhere. Oh, great Jehovah. Wherever you are. Whoever you are. Open up. I want to come home. There's something in me calling. Then I was born again. That little life was laying there. The life of water was poured upon it. Then it began to grow. It began to grow. It began to grow. Now that old life was forgiven. It was forgiven. Put in the sea of God's forgetfulness. But notice the old life is not the old nature. And that's where words mean things. The old life was forgiven. What is the old life? It's the deeds of the old nature. The old nature was killed. The old life was forgiven. Those deeds were forgotten, put in the sea of forgetfulness. Now new life will produce new deeds. So your old nature isn't forgiven. It's dead. What it caused you to do has been forgiven. So the old life is not the old nature. It's the results of the old nature. But now you have new life. The new life isn't the new nature. You have a new nature and you have new life. And that life is from above. Not the life that you got from below. Oh, hallelujah. You breathed in the breath of life when you were born in the natural. You breathed in another breath of life when you're born again in the soul. But one breath came from above and one came from down below. Notice, Ephesians 4:21. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man or the old nature. You put off the former conversation. That's the deeds, the way you lived. Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Colossians 3:9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. The deeds are what is forgiven. The old man has to die. We're still living in flesh. But the old man has to be put off with the deeds that are done in the very same flesh. That's why we need to put behind us the things that were in the past. Because that has to do with the old man. But now we're in the very same flesh that the old man lived in. And that flesh has to be controlled. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now that actually isn't the right translation. When they translated the King James Version, they were taking it from the Aramaic. Excuse me. And in the Aramaic, there were certain understandings or thought that was associated with it. This word again comes from the Greek word anothen, and it means from above, top, again, from the first, or from the beginning, from a higher place, from the very first, anew. So in other words, let's read this again. Except a man be born again. That's not the actual correct thought, because you can't be born twice. It's not you being reborn. Except a man be born from above, which you weren't. So you can't do that again, because you never were. Except a man be born from the beginning, from a higher place. Now you'll see how that fits with the rest of this scripture here in just a moment. Again would be the Baptist idea or the Methodist idea. It would be the same person being reborn. You would still be the same person, but you're not. Oh, I hope this really, really sinks in. You're not the one that did it in the first place. That nature is dead. And another nature, actually God, if you can receive it, is living in you. Now, this only fits one way. I'm going to read the rest of this scripture. It only fits one way. John 3:31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. You say, well, that is speaking of Jesus. Yeah. But remember, he's the firstborn among many brethren. So there's a part of you that came from above, but it had to be quickened. And there's a part of you that is of the earth, and it's earthy. And that part of you speaks of the earth. But he that cometh from heaven is above all. So unless we are born from above, we will never see this. You can't see the kingdom of heaven. You can't comprehend the kingdom of heaven. You can't know the kingdom of heaven. You can't know things by faith. You can't... The things that are revealed to his children will not be revealed to you except you be born again. Faith is made available to all men, but there are things that are revealed to the children. John 19:11. Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. It's the same word that was used, the same word that was again is used over here, and it's above, and it's the same word. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Same word. Same word as what was used for again. And cometh down from the Father of lights, who is with whom is no variableness, neither shadow or turning. So it's the seed life being born from above. That seed that's in you being born from above. Not something, not your old nature being reborn. It dies. James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above, same word, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. John 3:4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how could a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He which is born of flesh is flesh. He which is born of spirit is spirit. Man produces man, but God produces God." When she recognizes who she is. Blasphemy. It only works one way. You're either born of God or you're born of man. 2 Corinthians 4:10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Not a different life, the very same life. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Ephesians 4:18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, we were missing that life. Through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So this is why we can say, I never did it in the first place when we are born again. The natural man can't understand this. But that's because the natural man knows he isn't born again. If you aren't born again, you know your nature isn't changed. So you feel like a hypocrite saying, I never did it to begin with. And you'll go on saying, I'm no good, and I'm not worthy, and I'm this, and I'm that, because you're identifying with that first nature. And you're right. But the new one is different. So the reason why I can say I never did it to begin with is because what has been born in me never did it. Satan, see, here's what's going on. And this is what's keeping the bride, actually, in part, this is what's keeping her from coming to her full position. Yes. Is Satan trying to accuse the new life of the old sin. But no one can lay charge against the elect of God. Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Well, I can't be perfect. Yeah, but the new you can and is. Luke 6:36, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. 1 Peter 1:15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Your conversation will be the life that's lived out. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now you can't do that in your first nature. It's just not possible. You can look like it, but you can't do it. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. There's a new nature in you. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So the old man can't be alive and you be a partaker of the divine nature. The only way you could be a partaker of the divine nature is for the old man to be dead. James 1:18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Oh, this is powerful. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Oh, you just took my will out of that. You took my free moral agency out of that. Well, let me ask you this. What choice did you make when mom and dad came together? It wasn't your choice. It was by the will of man. It was by the will of man that you came as the offspring of man. It was by the will of God that you became the offspring of God. The Lord's choice. The Lord's choice. Not what we did. The Lord's choice. It's not even, well, I surrendered. No, you didn't do nothing. The Lord, by His choice. Oh, you will, there will be a surrender. There will be a surrendering of your will. There will be a dying out. But only because of His choice. He has decided that you will be born again. And He decided that, and He placed a part of Himself in you, laying there dormant, an attribute of His, so that when you decided, when you chose to let that old nature be annihilated, to be killed, that new nature could be quickened, which came from above, and now you are of the genes of your Father. He begat you. Friends, listen to this. Of His own will begat He us. Who's going to stop Him?
Nobody.
Well, it was of my own will that you would come forth, but Satan messed up my plan. No, if it's His will, His perfect will.
Amen.
If you were in the book.
Amen.
He begat you of His own will. And now you are born from above. 1 John 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now you can't call Him the Christ. Paul says in another place you can't call Him the Christ but except by the Holy Spirit. So you have to be born again. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. Let's read that again. Everyone that loveth Him that begat. So we love the one that we love, Father. If we love Father, we will love the sons and daughters that are begotten of Him. We won't have to be talked into doing it. You will love them. Because they came from Him. They're part of Him. You came from Him. You're part of Him. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Like existence begets life. Like existence. So notice, in conclusion here tonight, The younger brother, which is a type of you being born again of the Spirit of God, coming to yourself, coming to an adoption. The younger is aligned with the Father. The older is struggling to come into alignment with the Father. And he will struggle all the way until he's changed. The older has not been changed yet. And the older is in you. Yet both are living under the headship of Father. They're living in the same house. Romans 8:5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Naturally. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God did not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. For his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he's born of God. Sin is unbelief. Sin is doubt. You can't disbelieve if you're born of God. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. That word quickening means to give life, to make alive, to produce alive, to begat or bear live young, to cause to live, to make alive, to give life by spiritual power, to arouse and invigorate, metaphorically, of seeds quickened into life, germinating, springing up, growing. First man, Adam, was made a living soul. We were born through that lineage, and we were made living souls. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The last Adam, our husband, Christ, is a quickener with invigorating power. He had to give life to that seed that's in us. 1 Corinthians 15:46. Howbeit that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. So natural means sensual or belonging to breath. The principle of animal life, which men have in common with the brutes. The sensuous nature with its subjection to appetite and passion. So the older brother is natural. And he can be tempted because he's natural. And he was first. And the younger brother was born last. So he says, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. So you were born naturally and then spiritually. Your younger brother was born last. 1 Corinthians 15:47. The first man is of the earth. He's earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. The second man is... Oh, that's fanatical. Oh, I quit. You crossed the line there. The first man is of the earth. Earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Your first man is of the earth. Your second is a king and is a priest. Your father brought life to you from above and quickened you. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Some of us are heavenly, living in earth. And as we have borne the image of earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Let me interject this thought here for your consideration. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Older brother shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We will have a body like his. So the question here tonight, and I am pulling over here. The question here tonight, we waste a lot of time, we waste a lot of energy trying to figure out exactly when did I get it. Because there's a process that's taking place. Sure, there's a start of something, but the full change doesn't come all at once. So the question is not exactly when did I get it. That's not what we really ought to be so concerned about. But the question we ought to be asking is, why did I get it? Why? When the woman at the well came in contact with that life, it was a process. A process set in. Glory to God. So is it with you. A process sets in. Something is quickened. It begins to grow. It begins to manifest. It begins to take greater and greater control. The nature is in there. But it's a process that causes it to come out. And that process is called life. The trials bring it out. The pressure brings it out. Friends, if there's nothing growing, then how does fruit get produced? Fruit is a result of something that grew. So first, something in you begins to hear from God. And you come to the place where you consent to the death of your husband and to your own will. And then the judgment of God annihilates that life. It can't come back. It's dead. That old nature is dead. You can never be that. Those that leave the message and they're just like they were before they came to the message, it's because nothing died. And so that old nature had to die, and you were without a nature while the Spirit of God brooded over you to bring forth that new nature. You were a house swept and clean. Right? But something has to come in and quicken that, or seven buddies will come back. Right? The Spirit of God broods over you and brings you forth. So let me go back to the very beginning here as we stop tonight. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. This is Luke 15:32. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again. Was dead and is alive again. That old nature that is in you is dead. And the new you is alive. And that's where the celebration comes. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand. You can never, ever, ever preach this to a legalist church. You can do a lot of things with a legalist church, but you can never preach that. This is something that must be revealed to you. And you accept it and believe it before it happens. And then when it happens, you say, oh, wow, this is that. You know you're not the same. Right? Sure, you might still have that element of a temper. Because your temperament has not changed. Right? But instead of blowing a gasket, or even you don't know when it's going to go off, you might tie knots and strings, and you might count to 100. You might do all these different kinds of things. But unless a new nature comes in, so the temper is still there. Come on, friends, help me out here tonight. Your spirit is the same spirit. But the nature of it, the nature that governs it, the temper, if you don't have a temper, you don't have a backbone. You have to have a temper. But temperance is that new nature controlling the temper. So that the lid doesn't just blow off at any time. Brother Branham never knew when that lid was going to blow off. But once he was born again, there's something in there. He still had that temper. But there was something. He still had that temper. But there was something in him to keep that in place. In fact, there was even a time when he was told that, he was shown in a vision that this guy was going to come with a bulldozer and was going to run over his fence. And he was going to come to him and say, hey. And the young man was going to speak to him in a way that he shouldn't speak to him. And in that vision, Brother Branham knocks him down. Then picks him up, knocks him down, picks him up, knocks him down. This goes on and on and on. And the guy's, he's knocking him down the hill. Then he picks him up for the last time, says, I'm not mad at you. I just want you to know that you can't talk to me that way. And the angel of the Lord said, avoid this. When you see this coming, avoid this. Instead, go west. Right? And of course, we know what took place. And then he came back east and the book came open. But you see, so the temper in him to do that was still there. But something has to control that. Are you listening? So when people manufacture, it just makes me want to throw up when I see people manufacture. I hate that. I've hated it the whole time I've ever went to church, because you can tell when it's manufactured. And a lot of times the manufactured virtues look better than the real ones. You know, where somebody's just so, they're just so humble. You know, when they shake your hand. God bless you, brother. Right? Well, my brother. Well, sister. It's all a put on. And the wife's looking over here. She's rolling her eyes. She's got marks on her body where he's been beating her. He's a wife beater. Wears one of them wife beater t-shirts. And it's just a put on. It's fake. God bless you, my brother. Just be who you are. If you're a hypocrite, go ahead and continue being a hypocrite. But if you're born of heaven, just be who you are. This isn't us trying to be something. It's us either being this or being that. We're either born of heaven or we're born of the earth. And we were all born of the earth. So if you're born again of the Spirit of God, there's a new nature. And it'll live a certain way. And I'll be different than Brother Juan. Because I have a different temperament. I have a different spirit. God chose to give me a certain spirit for the job that he gave me. Chose to give him a certain spirit for the job he gave him. So we won't all look the same ever when it comes to how we are as individuals, but the nature will be the same. And when that temperament or spirit gets out from under us, that's when we're saying we're sorry to one another. This isn't changed. This has to be brought subject. It'll go this way or that way or this way if left to its own devices. Amen? But it's being taken to a change. So I want to emphasize this as we close. I want to emphasize this. I don't want anybody running up here. You've been preaching on this and I just ain't sure I got it. It's usually people like that that are born again. And the one that needs to get born again is convinced they already are. Because they're looking at deeds or works or something else. Right? So we're not bringing this so that you go and re-examine whether you've been born again. Look at your desires. You want to do what's right. Not out of fear. Not out of judgment. You want to please Him. You're in a relationship. You want to be corrected. You want the truth to come your way. Right? And fear is gone. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, we love you so much.
Amen.
Lord, we're so thankful that you've set this up the way that you have. Lord, I like the fact that it's out of my hands. Because everything that I've ever tried to do, I've messed up. And Lord, I can get a complex real easy when I look at what my weaknesses are and how maybe different things that are part of my makeup, Lord, I look at and I just know that I'm not capable of a lot of things. I'm not capable of pleasing you. I'm not capable of serving you as you ought to be served. But Lord, there's another part that's in me that I had no choice, but it's the real me. And it came from you.
Amen.
And Lord, that part that's been quickened by your Spirit cannot fail. That part wants to do what's right. That part wants to please you. That part believes. That's the part that gets inspired. That's the part that gets stirred up. The older brother still gets embarrassed. The older brother will still try to quiet down the younger brother. Call him a Pentecostal baby. The older brother will still reason. The older brother will still struggle with self-will. But the younger brother is taking control. And there's a different life in the younger brother than is in the older brother. There's eternal life there. There's corruption in older brother, but older brother will take on incorruption one of these days as younger brother leads older brother to his change. Father, I just pray that each one, Lord, under the sound of our voice, Lord, this is faith-building material. This is material that's showing us the true meaning of justification, true justification, the true meaning of predestination, the true meaning of election, foreknowledge of God, foreordained. Lord, it just places all of these things in the right place. It's the true understanding of the new birth. It's not a do-over. It's not a change. It's something dying and something coming to life. It's a different kind of life altogether. It's a different nature and a different life. Living in the same vessel. Father, I pray that each one would be encouraged. I pray that each one would be strengthened. I pray that our faith would grow. And Lord, as we meditate on these things, Lord, we know that this book came open for one reason, and that was to bring us to maturity and to bring faith for the body change. And Lord, maturity implies mature faith. And mature faith can only come by the full word, and so the full word had to be restored first before those that it was coming to could be restored. Father, I pray that this would cause us to live higher, Lord. It would cause us to relax a little bit, spiritually speaking, knowing, Lord, that it's not by might nor by power, but by thy Spirit,
Amen.
Saith the Lord. It's not by our works, but it truly is by your grace. But Lord, what we do as a result is a testimony of what kind of life is living down in us now. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide. Help us, Lord, to see. Help us to see, Lord, that if that life is truly in there, there's no way that we can be deceived. But we were in some kind of a deception before you came along. But those that have been quickened, they will be changed. And that life will be lived out. I pray that your blessings be upon each and every one as we commit these things into your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Do you love him tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.